on the website. If you'd like to say anything at all concerning the headlines that we're about to take you through, feel free to go to the chat room on the website and let me know what you think on there. Let's start with the Vanguard page 5. Energy crisis, petrol scarcity to persist. It has some writers.
Bad news for you this morning. We have an energy crisis. We have a power crisis. And as I speak, I am not sure that I have heard a concrete response to these two issues. I'm not sure that I have seen something that looks like a master plan to address both the power and the fuel crisis that we have, which in itself is very sad. Businesses are crumbling completely. I know some offices, for example, who can no longer run even lights during part of the day. Air conditioners are off. You know, lights in some cases are off. They can't run the generators. There's no light from let us just say NEPA for want of a better word.
Discos.
The discos. And the country is gradually, slowly but surely, grinding to a halt. And like I said, I can't think of any concrete plan that I have seen or heard. But as at yesterday, on the papers this morning, page 5 of the Vanguard, Pengasan is blaming the current scarcity on the difference in the bridging gap costs between when the cost of diesel was 250 per litre and now that it has risen to as much as 820. The last I heard was 700. Now it's gone to 820. And speaking at an electronic media monitored in Lagos yesterday, the president of Pengasan, Osifo, said Nigerian midstream and downstream petroleum regulation authority and truck drivers are the ones administering the bridging fund. At a particular time, they agreed with the truck drivers that the bridging fund is going to be about 10 hours. It goes into all the whatever it is. Bottom line, still no fuel, still no light. Moman says that inadequate supply is also part of the challenges. I thought an MPC said, you know, the tanks were full and there's oil at the ports and so on and so forth. But Moman, the chief executive chairman of Moman, Olumide Adeosun, and chief executive officer Moman, Clement Isong, jointly observed that the current scarcity of fuel was occasioned by supply inadequacy in the last few weeks, which was worsened by the scarcity and rising costs of diesel, which tracker drivers depend on to move petrol from the depots to the filling stations. Look at the vicious circle. The tanker drivers need diesel. There is no diesel. Price of diesel has gone up. Therefore, it's difficult for them to move petrol. Okay? And he said, Moman as an association fears that the current supply framework cannot guarantee steady and consistent supplies to the country, given the current state of government finances and unpredictable international supply shortages. Then they go into downstream deregulation. This same old thing we've been talking about all the way down. That's part of what is being said here. And also, we are being told, which we know, because it's worldwide, that the Ukraine-Russian war factor is also part of why we are facing these scarcities. Fair enough, you know. Some of these factors are inevitable. Some could have been better managed. But we still don't have any framework to look forward to that I know of. And that is the part that worries me.
Yeah, I get that part. I get that part, really. Let's go to page 31 of the Vanguard newspaper. 2023, Obi Kwankwaso are working on a mega alliance. It's credited to Abure Okupe Yunus Atanko.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, we thank our stars and we thank God that the rumored breakdown between Obi and Kwankwaso apparently is a no-brainer. There is no breakdown in communication and they're still working on a mega alliance. It says here that part of what they're working on is to decide on who is going to be the flag bearer. Now, that is a tricky one. That is the tricky one. The obedient, the Obi supporters would not want to hear Obi being a vice presidential candidate in any form. Mm. Otherwise, they would have encouraged him to stay in the PDP. Okay. Now, is Kwakwanso. Kwakwanso also has a larger-than-life image, to be very honest, in his area of strength. Will he be able to tell his own supporters that he, you know, maybe, what, you know, if they were to look at this things objectively, Kwakwanso might be able to handle be a very good vice presidential candidate, with the hope that after Obi's tenure, Kwakwanso would then become the presidential candidate. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to get around that. But the major problem is the two titans. The two titans. Obi is keen on being president. If he, like I said, if he wanted to be vice president, he would have stayed in the PDP. And so let's see how that that pans out. But the amusing part is part of the story here that talks about Obaseki. Now, Obaseki, remember, moved from the APC to the PDP. Mm. And Obaseki is now worried. Obaseki is cooler to have said that many Nigerians are looking for alternatives to PDP and APC. That's Governor Obaseki of the PDP saying that. And he said that supporters of Obi identified themselves as obedience. Mm. Okay, and according to Obaseki, PDP came third in the Ekiti. You know, is worried about his party. Listen to what he says here. How can PDP, the party, not win? They were not even number two. So you can see that something is going on, and we do not want this to be a trend. The future of our politics in this country is changing. I do not know whether you are closely watching what is going on. The level of disenchantment within the parties, I am sure in all your houses, we have so many people who call themselves obedient. You see, so I don't know whether you have them in your house. Just ask them, which party are you? They say obedience. He must have asked one or two people in his own household. They probably told him they're obedient. So you can see that the movement is on. And he says that they do not want us. They are not talking about PDP or APC. They are looking for alternatives, and there are many. You see all of them queuing for their PVCs. They are not looking at the direction of PDP and APC. Maybe Obaseki, too, at some point, is not happy with the PDP anyway. So maybe he'll be more than welcome in the Labour Party, and he too will become an obedient obedient. Are you an obedient?
No, I'm nobody.
I reject that in Jesus' name. How can you say you are nobody? You're somebody.
In that context, I'm nobody.
Yeah, he's a superstar.
But
don't call me. You remember what last time you said I was?
What's that?
I was a monument or something.
No, you're an ancestor. No, that's the fact.
How can I be an ancestor?
An ancestor.
Sheriff, come on. Just yesterday, what's her name said that I was a Gen. Said I'm a Gen Z or something like that.
No, you're not Gen Z. Gen Z care.
That's what the song I said.
No, you're not Gen Z. she's not even Gen Z herself.
What is she?
She's the millennials, I think.
Who is the Gen Z?
Gen Zs are born, I think, early 2000s or 2000s.
I was born again in 2000.
Excuse me?
I was born again in 2000.
Born again. Okay. It's very clear now.
All right.
Let's stay with the Vanguard. Page 7 of the Vanguard. Buhari leaves Abuja for Shogun 2022 in Kigali, Rwanda.
I don't know what stuff our president is made of. I don't know his comfort level. I honestly don't know how he does it. The story here says that he left for Rwanda, which is another trip, and only God knows how soon, to be held on June 20 to 26. He'll be away for 5 days. And I don't know how he does it, how comfortable he feels. The country is at almost collapse, complete collapse. The country needs somebody in the saddle to lead this battle against this oncoming onslaught, economic onslaught. Power, your power is down. Your first situation is very dire and very bad. Your economy depends on these two things. I don't know in what state of mind he would be when he gets to Rwanda. And, of course, the shocking thing he will discover is that things work over there. I think we have been too kind with our leaders. And we must never allow this happen again. From campaign, let us start pinning our leaders down. Even the campaign has been a bit lackluster since the two candidates. I mean, when I even say the campaign, even the issues that are spread, it's always either it's my turn or it's this or it's that. Accusations, for example, now are being made against this or that candidate, and they all pretend as if it doesn't matter. We shouldn't let such things slide away. We should pin them down. Let us make an example from now that we are totally intolerant of any leader who doesn't show empathy to the plight that we are in, caused by him or his colleagues. We haven't been running the country. They have. He's been running the country for 8 years. We find ourselves in a position, if you ask every individual, look at the problems that you face first thing in the morning. Even as a business, some companies are completely shut down, have their staff have to work at home with what? No light. And our leaders go for this. Well, I don't want to use the word jamboree, but you could easily send somebody. We need somebody who is hands down to take us out of this mess. And so we should insist. Okay, fine. Well, time is gone. It's become a habit here. But for those incoming, and that's why this campaign has to be on issues. We have to hold the candidates by the jugular. If there are questions to be asked, you must give us an answer. Questions are already out there now about some candidates.
Yeah.
And everybody pretends as if those questions are not there.
Which candidate?
It's... You see, the luck we have in this country is that we are not licensed to carry firearms. I'm not sure this one. I'm not sure this one. You know, questions are out there. Go to Twitter, go to the social media. Questions are out there. People are asking questions, especially from the two majors. Even Obi, questions are being asked about some facts that he made. People are
There are trends right now on Twitter.
Yes,
on almost all the candidates.
Yes. The Ashiwaju has his own.
Yeah.
Atiku has his. Obi has his. We should pin them down. Some of them are so grave that it would be sad if we allowed this to happen. If we overlook some of these things and we go ahead and these candidates contest this election. If we don't start from there, we are not going anywhere. If we don't start from there, we are going to be in this same mess that we are in. And I think what I also see complicit is the formal media. They go silent on some of these issues. It's disgraceful. You see these issues in the social media, you don't see any mention in the newspapers. The program we are doing here is analysis. We can only analyze what is in the papers. We can't take stories from the sky. And of course, your guess is as good as mine. Some of our media people are complicit in this. For God's sake, who is going to stand up and be a man in this country? Tell us some home truths. Do the needful so that we can all have the best. How much is it that you would make? And look at it this way. Check out some people who are in positions of opportunity about 15 years ago. Some of them have all the giant cars that they bought way back then. Now they don't have the money to fuel them because they are not in positions of favor. Is that how you're going to live your life? Why don't you stand up to be counted? I'm challenging our media, newspapers. We understand those that are owned by interest groups, fair enough. But for those who claim to be completely independent, what are you doing? The newspaper is full of trash. The stories are out there. Now you have to start relying on Bloomberg, on this and on foreign media for stories that should be in the Nigerian newspaper. It's very sad. Very, very sad. I weep for this country, the things that we're doing. And gradually, look, how can you be in this kind of situation and the only thing that happens is that you rely on one candidate, a fresh candidate. Is that all that it takes? Is that all that it takes? Shouldn't we be challenging newspaper proprietors to say, how come this story is not in your newspaper? What are you doing? What are you publishing? What you see in newspapers is always, this man said this and this man said that. Of course, you know what that means. In any case, it's been admitted once that, oh, some of the front page stories are paid for. I mean, so your guess is as good as mine. Mm. Let's go to the next story, Jerry. I'll be something lighter.
It's kind of light, you know. I don't know if you'd consider this light. Page 39, Vanguard. Qatar government bans sex during World Cup. 7 years imprisonment for offenders.
Mm. Well, luckily Nigeria didn't qualify because I know some big boys who are raring to go to Qatar. But just in case you think that, okay, usually you take your holiday every 4 years for a World Cup to go freaking out, let me make this announcement because you might never get to hear it. Qatar says sex outside marriage by players and fans during the World Cup in Qatar, if you are caught, it is 7 years imprisonment. Meaning, if you are caught in a hotel room and you are not married to the lady with you, from that hotel room, I can assure you, before you come back to the shores of Nigeria, for 7 years, then it says, the country prohibits anyone having sex outside marriage, and World Cup fans are by no means exempted from this. Qatar also has a strict no drinking in public law. Moreover, the country prohibits anyone being publicly intoxicated. So you cannot drink it in your house, to be correct. You not go to the stadium and start doing any nonsense. And let me tell you, if you've ever gone to countries where they don't speak English, where English is not the national lingua franca, if you have any, I've had problems once with immigration in Dubai. It's an experience I don't want to go through again. It was a simple thing. It wasn't even mine. It was an error on my point of entry. Okay, there was an error in the stamping on my point of entry. So it was when I was going out, the guy told me, I kept asking him, what is it? He looked at me. He said, wait, you know, a bit of hostility. So be careful. Okay? And he says that also, for you to know, in Qatar, public affection, that is holding and so on and so forth, lucre is also public affection. When you look at someone like that, so public affection, touchery is also, and peeping, all those things. Public affection between men and women is also a crime, and one is not to wear excessively revealing clothing in public. No cleavages, no mini. I don't know about trousers. Would trousers be part of it?
I don't know.
Oh, look at that.
No.
Okay.
Lorry.
So I just thought that I should give this to the big boys. And you know, it's in November, so you have enough time to cancel your ticket and go somewhere else, go enjoy yourself, if that's where you're going.
But I don't know if this is going to be a problem for the football community, really.
It's going to be, especially the drinking part.
Right.
And indeed, the other part too. I mean, you want to go with your girlfriend, but hey, in Qatar, you must be married. So the best, if you want to go from here, go to Oluwole.
So you now be going about with what now?
With a wedding certificate to this papa of 80 who is going slowly actually is married to this 20-something-year-old.
I think it's not too good.
But it's we laugh about it now. Yeah. Okay, it's going to be a problem.
I think this is a crisis in waiting.
In waiting.
Yeah.
It's a crisis.
A global crisis in waiting.
Global crisis in waiting. You see where the story is. I just tucked in somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't think the person who wrote the story itself didn't know the implication of what it is. But even the footballers usually should be able to go with their girlfriends.
Normally,
whatever,
yes.
But they
some of them go with their wives, with their children, if they're on holiday.
Well, you might have to put them in another hotel.
No, I don't think it's good. Especially for the game, because it's supposed to be a fiesta, it's supposed to be a carnival-like atmosphere, and that's why they themselves fought to get it in.
Yes.
So that they can tap from the benefits.
Yeah, but they
of
haven't said that you can't have females and males. What they simply say is that you can't hold hands.
Why?
Well, you can hold hands.
Is that too indecent?
But not affectionately. You can hold one B, come here. You can.
They're saying PDA. PDA could be as much as just putting my hand on the shoulders of my partner. It could be as
you are not allowed to come with your partner.
As that.
You should come and live with your wife. How can you be thinking of a partner?
No, what is wrong if I'm not married?
You said my partner means that. Apart from being
my wife is my partner. Let's not even go
and
there.
Then there's no problem. Your wife is your wife.
That's what I'm saying. How would they be able to? No, Mosalo. How would they be able to prove that?
No, I think they'll just ask a simple question, and you might have to show part of the problem. Part of the problem could be the names on the passport. So if you have a wife who, for example, hasn't changed her maiden name for official reasons and so on and so forth, you're going to have a problem there.
I think it's ill-advised. I think it's totally wrong.
Stay home.
I think it's totally wrong.
Stay home.
And this also...
Should go watch the U.S. Open.
This should go out to people that are traveling to Qatar. Whether for World Cup or anything, you just need to read up, especially for the first time, read up on where you're going, so you know the do's and don'ts.
Do you know that as we're speaking, there could be somebody out there who is saying, "Am I down on me? I didn't know."
Yeah.
And he's already made the plans, bought the tickets,
set everything up, booked hotel already,
set everything up.
Well, the boys will find way.
How?
Girls will find ways.
How? Do you not know that remotely it is possible there could be cameras everywhere?
Inside my hotel room too.
Well, in the corridor. Inside my bedroom. In the corridor, how would you explain the woman going into your room?
Excuse me. What is wrong with a woman coming into my
personal,
room?
My personal example, I went to Dubai once and I had a parcel for a lady.
Yeah.
And they didn't allow her come anywhere. It was during Ramadan.
Yeah.
Let me quickly say that. And they wouldn't allow her come up. They said, "Madam, please sit down. I had to come down, you know."
Oh.
That this was Dubai, though, during Ramadan.
Okay. I'm not going to preempt anything. Best of luck to people going to the world. We're not going, Abi. Maybe we'll not qualify.
No, I'm a European traveler.
Okay.
Vacations in Europe are far better than... I avoid countries where English is not the lingua franca by rule for holidays.
Okay.
Yes, it starts from there.
Okay. Let's take one more story before we go. DSS, social media, fake news, biggest threats to national security.
Yes, I'm going to join the DSS here. In appealing to our people, and please stop sending me some of these videos and some of these forwarded messages
that raise
an alarm. Please stop, because I keep telling you, if I am apprehended by any means whatsoever and asked to give the name of who sent it to me, I jolly well will give you up. You know, because some of the messages that you get. They're outright, they're not even irresponsible. Some of them are sinister. Some of them are sinister. And the greatest threat to the existence of this country, believe you me, is false news. If you were to go by false news, you won't even step out of your bathroom into your bedroom to change and go anywhere. And so I plead, you know, also I agree with the DSS that the biggest threat to national security now is everything that happens. It always narrows down to some tribal. I'm not saying there are no threats. Don't get me wrong. Because our people have this knack of listening to one side of it without looking at the overall picture.
Right.
I'm not saying that there are no threats. No. That's not what I'm saying. But some are completely exaggerated. Some are completely false. And by the time it goes down, everybody believes that's what it is. And they start citing... You know, let's all be responsible with the social media. And I keep saying, Big Brother is watching you. And guess what? The Big Brother doesn't end on the shores of Nigeria. Mm. It is global. There are certain words that you use that can trigger an interest in you.
Right.
Worldwide. We need to be careful.
Yeah. We also need to. I wanted to also say that people must pay attention to their WhatsApp, the settings on their WhatsApp. Some of us don't know that when people send us these messages and pictures and videos, our phones download them automatically. So there is something you can do on your WhatsApp that you can just tick or untick and, you know, stop that from happening.
Because
if any of these videos were found on your phone, you are eliminated. You won't be able to explain how it get to your phone or how your phone downloaded them. But nobody will listen to you anymore.
Can I quickly add something?
Yeah.
These pictures can be found remotely. If you don't know now, it can be found without physical access to your phone.
To your phone. We have to go. That's the show. Thank you so much for coming.
Okay,
we'll be back by 9. I'm Sheriff. Let's take the news. After the news, we'll talk about the plight of widows for the second time this week. Good morning to you.
They don't disconnect your line. Sick of say you not link your national identity.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info.